Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody out there in Milwaukee, Mobland. It's me, your host, Wayne Klingman, with another interesting podcast on the Milwaukee Mob. And once again, we're bringing you one of the actors that we had do such a great job with Hold Card. I'm really impressed with all the talent that we had, be it the PAs, to the director, to the song guy, the cinematographer. Everybody went above and beyond. And to bring these people on the air now to talk about their backgrounds, what they thought of the productions, things like that, I think only goes to show and to prove the guys out there, when this film gets out there, be able to be seen on Vimeo Prime for a couple of bucks, that you invest that couple of bucks, and half an hour, 45 minutes of your time to see the show, to tell me your thoughts of it, see what we can't do to bring other really cool, exciting productions forward. And so with that, with no further ado, let us stand and cheer the loudest voices possible for the famous, good-looking Steve Cishner, actor, coach, teacher, mob boss himself. He is here with us. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Wynn. How are you doing?
I don't know if I'm coming or going or standing still. Yeah, I mean, it's been a wild time. But tell us a little bit about yourself, sir.
All right, so I was born and raised in Watertown, Wisconsin. And I started acting, it was kind of an accident. A buddy of mine, I was in seventh grade, he was in eighth. We usually walked home together. He said he wasn't going to walk with me that night because he was going to try out for a play. And I had never thought about trying out for a play. And he said, well, you should try out. So I got a small part in that, and I guess I got bit by the acting bug. And I did about 12 or 13 more plays and musicals in high school. And then I did some community theater after that. And then I took a long break. And about 3 years ago, I was trolling around on Netflix looking for something to watch. And I watched a documentary called I Know That Voice. John DiMaggio, who does the voice for Bender for Futurama, taped a bunch of his peers, all very talented voice actors. And I watched this, and I thought, that's what I want to be when I grow up, even though I was 50 probably when I watched it. And I thought, these guys look like they're having fun. Well, I did a little more research, and I found out that if you're going to be big time in voice acting for video games or for animation, you're probably going to live in Los Angeles. But as I examined things more closely, I realized there were some jobs in the Milwaukee area. And so I took a class called Essentials of Voiceover with Dave Connor and Dave Redeman at Wonder Wonder Sound in Milwaukee. And when I was done with that, I cut a demo and I got an agent, and things kind of took off. But the ironic thing is that I worked hard for a year, year and a half on voiceover, but I've actually had more on-camera work in the last 5 months than I have voice work.
Wow. I used to do a show called Indieville, Wisconsin, where I've had a number of actors on. You're probably the first voice actor I've had the privilege to interview. I find what you do absolutely fascinating. What are some of the challenges in voice acting, say, that your traditional actor may not be faced with?
Well, let's say on Saturday when we were filming Hold Card, you know, I had people there to help guide. You know, Darby was directing, and if we made a take and it wasn't quite right, then, you know, Darby would say, hey, you know, try this or throw this line away a little bit more or take something off that or punch this line. When you're voice acting, a lot of times you're isolated. Right now I'm sitting in my studio in my home, which is I tell people, you know, for about 4 hours a day, I sit in a dark padded room and talk to myself. And that's basically what my voice acting career is. A lot of times there's no direction. You get the copy from whatever company or agency you're dealing with, and then it's left to you to interpret it. And sometimes they'll give you, you know, conflicting directions in the copy at the top. I got a piece of copy from one of the pay-to-play sites I'm on, and it said, matter-of-factly in awe. I'm not exactly sure how you do that, matter-of-factly in awe. But, you know, you take your best shot, and sometimes you get the job, and sometimes you don't. Most of the work that I get through my agent, then I'm going to be going into a professional recording studio to do. But I like it because of the variety. I've got 5 auditions queued up on my computer right now. One of them is an on-hold message. One of them is for a type of bullets. And one of them, I'll be playing 3 parts, Sherlock Holmes, Dr. Watson, and Professor Moriarty, in an advertisement for a German company. So I don't know that I'm going to get all those jobs, but the variety of the auditions, and I really think since I've started doing more of the pay-to-play sites and working online, that the number of auditions I have, it really helps you to hone your craft. You figure out what works and what doesn't work pretty quickly.
Sure, let me follow up on that one. What do you mean by a pay-to-play site?
A lot of what happens now, and once upon a time, you had to live in a large market in order to be a voice actor. And you would then get the copy from your agent, and then you would travel to the sound studio, and you would audition there. And then if you were chosen, you would return there to do the job. Now, with the internet and communication, what it is, first of all, technology is such that for, you know, under $1,000, you can put together a pretty great sound studio in your home. And then I can use the internet. I pay a annual fee to be a member of a pay-to-play site. And then they look at my profile, what my voice is like, what things I've done. And they send me auditions. And then I record it in my home, and I just email the audition in. And then the procedure goes from there. So I never have to leave my home. In some instances, they want you to go to a studio. But most of the time, you're recording right in your home, and you're editing in your home.
Wow. That's wild. So not only do you have to record the stuff, you have to edit it out too?
Sometimes you always have to do like raw editing, taking spaces out, de-breathing it, taking any, you know, clicks or pops that you have in there. Sometimes they want you to add music that they supply. Sometimes they want you to hit specific timings. You know, they'll give you a video, and so you have to go along with that. I'm working with a local real estate company doing narrations for virtual tours, and they will show me the video that they have created. Yeah, and then I will hit the timings on that.
That's incredible. That's something that
I had seen online, and so I approached the biggest realtor in the area. And I said, hey, this is something that, you may want to do. And he said, yeah, I'm always looking for something to separate myself from the crowd. And so I started that at the beginning of the summer.
Well, yeah, right on. You should pick up drones because you should learn how to fly a drone because that's really big in the real estate industry, too, as an aside. Absolutely.
Yeah,
wow,
that's what I'm finding out.
Excuse the rudeness here. I'm just amazed about voice acting. So anybody, I mean, you don't have to be. One of the things I hear all the time is, you know, people upset because that what they call a pretty person. Therefore, they don't think they can get that job as an actor because they don't look like Brad Pitt. But if I'm doing voice acting, I can be a fat old man in my living room. Nobody knows, right?
Well, and the other thing is, we met each other on Saturday. And I surely don't look like Brad Pitt, but I look like something. But when you see me, my role is going to be limited what I can, you know, perform as because of my age, because of my size, because of my general look. But in voice acting, you know, golly gee willikers, you could play a little kid if you wanted. Or you could play a really big guy.
Or you could play a tiny little fella that maybe has glasses sliding down his nose or something like that.
You know, so you can change your voice up, and so it opens up tons more casting opportunities as a voice actor as opposed to being an on-camera actor.
Absolutely. Wow, I had no idea. I'm going to have to, I can't change my voice in a million thousand years, but I still find this whole thing fascinating because I'm a big believer in radio dramas. I mean, I love listening to old radio dramas from the 30s and the 40s, what they were able to do with it in the theater of the mind. And I don't know if you have time to listen to podcasts such as the Black Tapes or Tennis. There's all kinds of really good mystery shows out there which are using voices to help people.
And yes, and that's a very specific skill. A lot of times, like the guys that work on animation, you're going to get paid a flat fee for three voices. It's going to be a minimum of three voices that you're going to do. And then if they throw additional voices at you, they'll do that. There's a famous voice actor named Patrick Fraley who said one of his favorite audiobooks to do was Huck Finn. But in Huck Finn, there was 93 different separate dialects. And in one scene when they're on the raft, there's 13 different people speaking, and they're using 9 different dialects. So he had to bounce back and forth in a chapter between those different dialects. And that was one of the things I started watching videos of him. And that's where I started to, have this love for different accents and dialects. And so I had played a Russian mobster in a movie called The Chronicles of Samantha Derringer for Bob Love. And then I was playing a New York guy for you guys. I do German. I do Scottish. So it depends on what the job calls for. With this Professor Moriarty and Sherlock Holmes piece, I'll have three distinct voices with three probably different dialects, because I'm guessing that Watson and Holmes speak slightly different brands of English. So, I have to do a little research and figure it out. I'm going to be in a play in the beginning of Okaloosa Station Winery in Lake Mills, and I play three different parts. I play a New York gun runner, a Dutch blackmailer, and then an English police officer. So I sit and listen and try to take it in and then work through the dialects as well as I can.
Well, I just find this whole thing fascinating. I'm amazed. How big of a demand is there out there, do you feel, for voice acting?
Oh, it's huge. There are lots of opportunities. Unfortunately, the two pay-to-play sites that I am on, you have to be vetted. They're going to check into your background. They're going to see what you've done, make sure that your demo is professional quality and things of that nature.
Right.
They're going to check up to see other people you know in the industry. There are many sites that is not the case, that anybody with a $60 USB microphone can, set up in their kitchen and start auditioning. A friend of mine who's a voice actor down in Mississippi said that one time he put a fake job up on a site just to see what he was getting. And he said of the 92 auditions he got, he said 80 of them were absolutely horrible. Because a lot of people, you see things on the internet all the time that says, you can start earning money from home now. And voice acting is one of those things. But it's like any other kind of acting. If you don't have some kind of training, you're going to be in serious trouble. That's why I went to VoiceOver Nation, Dave Redeman and David Connor, and they, we went through the course. We were in the professional studio 3 hours a night for weeks and weeks, and I sat and talked with those guys. Well, one of the first sites I went to when I started thinking about voice acting, D. Bradley Baker is a famous voice actor. He does Klaus the Fish on American Dad. And he also did, all on the animated Clone Wars series. He did all of the voices of the clones, and each one was slightly different. He has a site called iwanttobeavoiceactor.com. And on his site, one of the first things he said is perform, perform, perform. He said, if you're an actor, act as much as you can. And that's what 3 years ago kind of got me back into community theater. And so I've done probably 5 or 6 different community theater shows in the last 3 years. And then I started looking at other opportunities, and that's how I happened on, Darby's post and ended up in the film Whole Card.
Absolutely. I mean, anything you want to do when it comes to entertainment, the more you do, the more opportunities that you have. In fact, that's really true in all forms of life. And I myself always encourage people that want to get into the production side of things that they just hook up with their local community thing that they're interested in. Here we have a pet shelter that's in need. Some people want to say get started making film. I said, go to the pet shelter. They need people to make PSAs for them, right? And since they don't have a budget, but they need the stuff done. It gives you an opportunity to try and learn, right? And anything
right,
is better
sure.
than nothing. And you're always getting those skills. I mean, it's important to put yourself out there. The thing is, when it's time to go to school, I'm a big believer in education, is how do you tell the good places to get education from versus, say, the fly-by-nights?
Correct. The other thing is the networking aspect. I, for 49 years of my life, I did not have a business card. I'm a high school teacher and a football coach, and I really never had the need for a business card. When I made my demo and started wanting to get representation from an agency for voice acting, I needed to make a business card. So I'm 50 years old. I get my first business card. My wife, who's been in business, you know, her whole life, she laughed at that. But what I have found really in voice acting especially, but also in the Wisconsin community for acting and television and film production, is people are very supportive. And they are going to connect you with other good people. And I have had more people, both nationally and locally, voice actors that I have contacted on Facebook. And they'll shoot me their email address, and we go back and forth. There was one guy named Chris Fries in California who's a big-time voice actor. That's his gig. And we were emailing back and forth one night, and he said, just here's my phone number. Call me on Monday, and I'll go through any of the questions with you. And the other thing is, so I went for Saturday to film Whole Card, and it was an on-camera opportunity, which I was very grateful for. But when I left, I realized that, you know, Sean Casper, our cinematographer, he does industrial video. Him,
yep.
About, you know, the need for voice work, for narration for industrial videos. And then
yep.
Yesterday when I was listening to you and Darby speak, I didn't realize that Darby was so big in the radio dramas and audio dramas. And so I shot him an email, and he talked to me about a project that, you know, I'm going to lay down some tracks for later today, and I'm going to ship him off and see what he thinks of it. So,
well, absolutely.
You never know who's you know, going to be the person that's going to hook you up with the next person that gives you an opportunity. So I always
right.
keep my cards handy. And like you said, the more work you can do, the more you can hone your craft, the better you can get, the better product you can offer people.
Absolutely, which, of course, brings you value. It's interesting, you know, that we all bring something to a production, which we're part of it. That brings value, and that value has to be appreciated. One of the things I get frustrated, I could strangle people, is I'll read Joe Blow from Kokomo has an opportunity. He's looking to cast his film, whatever it might be, right? And he wants
right.
all these people to work for days. We don't mean 2-3 hours doing whatever in somebody's living room. Maybe he has a project that's going to go for days, and he's not going to pay anything, right? It's for the experience. Well, there's a time for experience, but if somebody's making, say, a feature where he's going to sell it and make money, he's not going to pay his cast and his crew. It's like, what's wrong with that? It's really a big pet peeve.
Right. And that's one of the things I think recently, given the political climate in Wisconsin, there are so many people, and there are more venues out there, more avenues out there to create and present content to the public. But, you know, if you're not independently wealthy, it's kind of hard to pull the trigger on some of these.
Well, I have to say yes and no. I mean, it is hard. To me, there's no better time to create your own media. What I'm doing here with this podcast and Blog Talk Radio, I get a basic package that works for free, right? It's really basic, and
right.
I can do all that. But if I'm this one to get the word out, I can do it. I can start a blog free, and WordPress for free. Maybe if I went host it and do some other things with it, it might cost a bit of money. But media is probably the cheapest it's ever been. But the more you can invest in it, as you say yourself so well, the better it will look, taste, and feel. Get more people to buy in because, right, I mean, it's just all there is to it. It's just, what is it you're willing to do? And I'm a big believer in helping people. Like if my local guy down the street wants my help making a film about his gardening project, say, right? I'm in it. I like garden.
Right.
I can help. I don't need to get paid for everything. But if he's sitting there thinking, I'm going to make this film and go to Sundance and make my way to Hollywood, I'm thinking, wait a second, he has a plan to take this film and make a lot of money with it, and I'm going to get a thank you?
Right.
Again,
yeah, there's the difference between being a contributor to a project and being used for your skills, and the other person's going to move on without you.
Right, right. I mean, there's a time to donate your time because you get something in return. Like when I was my first set on a film set long, long ago, I still don't know nothing. I'm not an actor, right? So I'm always happy to play the fat man in a hat, the dead guy on the floor, right? I mean, I can do that. I don't need to get paid for that, right? Because I'm just doing nothing, right? I mean, I had the opportunity to be in a project that went nowhere fast, where I got set at on the border for 8 hours, and there's worse things in life than me sitting in a strip club for 8 hours, right? I don't need to get paid for anything I do, but at the same time, I don't value that thing because it's a valueless skill. But if somebody wants me to say, hey, Wayne, I want you to drive me all around town, I want you to do all these things, I want you to help me put my film together, I expect something for that. But that's me. And maybe I'm wrong, but I do see these problems in Wisconsin. One of the biggest problems is that for everyone like you and I and Darby and others that we met on Saturday who want to work together and do what we can do to lift each other up, there seems to be more and more people in the weeds that want nothing more to do than rip you down, tear you apart, and heaven forbid, if you share an opinion they don't like, we'll go out of the way to make your life miserable. I wish we could get out of that.
And unfortunately, that's, you know, a lot of American society has grown to be that way. I mean, look at sports. We build people up, sometimes it seems, just so we can tear them down. And there's jealousy. And that's how I was kind of delineating between, and this is what I've heard more than what I've experienced myself. If you went to Los Angeles, the on-camera community tends to be a little more protective and competitive. The voice acting community, maybe it's because people don't recognize their faces and they don't the fame doesn't come along with the work, that they tend to be very giving of their time. Now, in Wisconsin, the people I've dealt with, you know, you, Sean, Darby, Bob Love, and the people I worked with on that film, and the people I've worked with doing TV commercials or safety videos, they've been very, very giving. You know, they've been very accommodating and willing to hook you up with other people, you know, for future possible work. So it's been really nice. And I think if you meet people and you get a good feeling from that person and you see that they're doing quality work and they're willing to go the extra mile for you, then those are people you'd want to work with again.
Well, without a doubt. I mean, to me, going back to Saturday, the people I met on Saturday will have my undying loyalty to the day I die, and maybe if I come back as an undead, right? Because, you know, you guys did above and beyond work for me. You know, I really, really appreciate that. And that, to me, comes with the loyalty in return, right? You helped me out greatly. I owe you something in return, far more than a paycheck. It's like, what can I do? Found out.
It was just a great experience. On Sunday, my wife said, gosh, are you tired? And I said, I'm exhausted. She goes, would you do it again? I said, I'd do it again today. I'd leave right now and drive an hour plus up to Oshkosh and work 16 hours straight if I could, because it was so energizing. I mean, I drove an hour and 15 minutes home from there. I got home shortly after 1 in the morning. I had been there since 8 in the morning, and I was still jacked up. I couldn't really fall asleep right away because it was such a great experience.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nice. I mean, here, a continuing joke is my roof of my home, right? I've suffered nothing but a nightmare for the last month with the most incompetent group of roofers God put on this earth until I was able to resolve some of those issues, right? But to get away for an hour, even though it was a long drive for me, it was 3 hours, right? But spend the day with creative people, getting away from the shit down here, right? It was very much energizing. You know, it was able to me to get my head out of negative space and put it for a while in a positive area, so I could come back on Monday and solve some problems.
Right. I mean, and I've had that experience a couple times now. When you go and you're around intelligent, creative people that want to be there and are working towards a common goal, it's kind of hard to go back to the 9-to-5 sometimes. Now, I'm a teacher. I love teaching. But, you know, again, the political climate has changed significantly in the last 6 or 7 years. And so the job doesn't hold all the glamour that I once thought it held. Other people may not think it's glamorous. But I love it because it's different every day. I was having a conversation with a voice actor, Jason Stevens, who lives over near Madison. And I talked about training that I need. And a lot of people are talking about improv. And he's in an improv group called Monkey Business Institute in Madison. And I said, do you think I should get improv training? He said, Steve, you're a high school teacher. He said, every day of your life is improv training. You don't need any more of that. You're fine.
This is true, and I am nothing but respect, especially for my history of civic teachers, because I'm a little older than you, right? I'm almost dust. Not quite there, but I'm almost dust. I remember going to the high school, my ninth grade teacher, and we're talking about the Second World War. She was talking, doing that, those lessons to us, right, the kids. And she said something which provoked people to ask questions. And she didn't belittle us, she didn't say you're wrong, anything like that. It was, well, if you think that, where do you think this? And she challenged us to show her why we had the ideas we had. And she empowered us to think on our own.
That's a common theme in my classroom. Ask any of my students that went through my government class last year. Opinions are opinion, and that's fantastic, but you've got to give me something to back your opinion up. You can't back your opinion up with more of your opinion. It means nothing. Give me facts, logic, statistics. Give me something to back your position up. And that's the big thing is, here's your argument. Let's back that argument up now. How can you do that?
Right.
So I think she was definitely on the right track, and that's kind of how I try to run my classroom.
Absolutely, and that led me to having an understanding of education, a loving of knowing schools, and wanting to be involved in schools, wanting to be involved in politics, because when I went to school in Madison, Wisconsin, went to Madison West, right, the idea was it was never we know best because we're in charge. It was we want to guide you to where you want to be. And that was empowering. My kids now go to school. I have a 16-year-old grandson, and he comes home frustrated often because if he speaks his mind, right, and he's 16, and all 16-year-old boys can be 16-year-old boys, right? But when
right.
he comes with an opinion, right, they belittle him. Well, because you can't think that, because society doesn't want you to think that. It's like, but this is, you know, we're seeing that Madison. You know, and Madison was so much different in their school is what Racine is today. It's just incredible how a school system can, instead of empowering a child, can, if you don't meet a mold, can try to break that child. Does that make any sense?
Yes. You want kids to be able to think for themselves. I often, when we have our parents come in at the beginning of the school year, you know, teaching government, sometimes that's a touchy topic. And I say, I don't teach kids what to think. I want to teach them how to think. So I'm not going to indoctrinate your child with a particular political agenda. I'm going to show both sides, try to be as balanced as possible, give them the facts that I have, and then let them make up their own mind based on their own life, because everyone's priorities are different. So what's important to me may not be important to some of the other people. And I like to try to learn as much about my students as possible, because if a kid was raised in the inner city of Milwaukee and now he's living in Watertown, his viewpoint of the government may be different than the kid who is a dairy farmer living outside town and his family's been there for four generations. So I want to teach you how to think, looking at the facts, looking at the statistics, looking at your priorities, and not what to think. That's not my job as a teacher.
Absolutely. Where you get find the information? Because if you don't know, right, if you don't know, where can you go to get the information? You know,
exactly.
And you know how to read. So I'm sorry, I cut you off.
When I was a student, not a problem. When I was a student, I think, you know, teachers, if they didn't know something, they felt bad. I don't know something on a daily basis, and I say, well, let's look it up together. You know, once upon a time, if you held tons of facts in your head, you were the smartest person in the room. That had great value. Now, as long as somebody has a phone in the room or a computer in the room, we can find a lot of that rote memorization stuff within seconds. And so I don't feel that it's so necessary to memorize as many of the things that I did going through school, because you have easy access to it. You know, there are some things you have to memorize. You know, I had a student one time tell me, hey, we don't need to memorize anything. I'm like, how do you get home at night? And he said, what do you mean? I said, you walk home? He says, yeah. I said, how do you know how to get home if you haven't memorized it? And he goes, well, that's different. Well, there are some things you need to know. But if you have access to information, and then it comes to the big thing that we went through this last year, you know, the whole idea of fake news and what is fake news and what are reputable sites. And so we added a unit this last year dealing with fake news, finding, you know, sources that you can trust online. What is the hallmark of a trustworthy source versus a source that's going to end up giving you fake news? Or all the things that are on social media that are just clickbait that aren't even telling the truth. So
a big pet peeve is I remember growing up, God, I forget how old, I was 72. When did the Pentagon Papers come out in the New York Times? It was the 70s, right?
73, maybe?
73, right? And the Pentagon Papers, the New York Times, and the New York Times were a hero because they went and published information that the public needed to know. No doubt about that, right? No doubt about that.
Right.
Now we have the same New York Times that hires a reporter that got accused and fired because of plagiarism. It's like, wait a second, where's our standards here? Oh, do we not have standards because that reporter that I hired has the same political opinion that the editorial staff has? What's up with that?
Right. In your conversation with Darby yesterday, I heard you mention the TV series The Wire. And
yes.
They had a great storyline about plagiarism. And when I watched that, then it sparked me to go back and look at major plagiarism cases in U.S. history with the U.S. newspaper companies. And it was fantastic. And when we can use entertainment like The Wire to enrich our lives, to look at something outside of that, like these plagiarism cases, I think that's fantastic.
I agree, and I love The Wire because, as our Dermot and I talk, we the good guys and the bad guys. It's a whole spectrum, right? But my favorite character is the black Muslim. I think he's in Philadelphia. Shows up in New York. He shows up to New York to Baltimore and just gonna fix some problems, right?
Right.
And he's in the hotel room. He sends his bodyguard out to get a bunch of magazines, and he's reading them. And his bodyguard says, "What are you reading all these magazines for?" Right. And the guy, and I won't use the word they used on the TV show, but the black guy goes, basically, there's nothing more frightening than a black guy who can read. Black guy with a library card. But that's not what this is
right.
On TV, but that's basically the words, right? That's true.
Right.
I mean, I can go to a young man up and on my block. I live in the inner city, a primarily African-American neighborhood, which is going more and more Hispanic. And I go to any young man up and down the street who has a problem, right? And they come to me because I can fix their problems, but they can get at least who they should talk to, sometimes somebody to vent with, right? That's it. I'm saying the same thing to them. If you want to scare the hell out of your local government, go and get a library card. If you really want to terrify them, go to a city meeting and listen. You don't have to speak up. You don't have to say words. Go and listen. They don't want that. Put them on the help. Make sure you take advantage of all the resources you have to be a citizen, however you want to define that term, and it terrifies them because that means now they become accountable to you, and they don't like that. Information
is power.
And
that's the big thing is, information is power, and we need to be active participants in our democracy. If we're not active participants in our democracy, then we're going to have things foisted upon us that we're not going to like.
Yes. And I know we're getting more political than talking about acting, but that's all part of the entertainment thing, is that we can use entertainment not only to, as you talked about plagiarism, right? And I discussed about
right.
the importance of using entertainment as a way, The Wire, as a way to encourage kids to read and become involved, right? I have comic books here written by 50 Cent, the rap artist, right? I give them away freely to some of these young kids. I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything.
I'm sorry, I heard something. Okay. By 50 Cent, the rap artist, who talks basically, the comic book says, if you want to do something in your life, you go out and you do it. Right? Don't wait for it to be handed to you. Go out and get it. Go out and do it. And these kids read the comic book, though, and it's a comic book, but yet it empowers these kids. And they sit in there saying, like, he had to overcome this stuff. I can overcome this stuff, too. You know, it gives
right.
them options versus, I can't do anything because I've been told by other people I can't. You know, you should be told by other people you can.
Yep. It's funny that you bring up comic books. I had talked to Darby a little bit about comic books, and one of the other actors, Will, on the set, who played Lloyd, he had a comic book with him. And comic books are why I learned to read. I have a brother that's 10 years older than I am. When I was four, he had a huge box, probably 300 comic books. And I went to my mom and I said, you know, I want to read those comic books. Dan doesn't want to read them to me. You know, when am I going to learn to read? My mom said, well, when you go to school, you're going to learn to read. So I thought I was going to go, you know, to kindergarten day one. I was going to learn to read and I was going to tear home and read 300 comic books. It didn't work out that way. But comic books spurred my love of reading as a child, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, entertainment is so valuable for all the positive things it can do. I mean, sometimes it gets a bum rap, and because it's up to us as parents and whomever we might be to have that role in our children's life to guide them. I mean, my parents didn't care. They took me to the library all the time. If I went to the library, I was there. If I had a library book or two, they paid the fine. I was somewhat lectured sometimes about not doing that, but they didn't care. They wanted me to read. They wanted me to watch TV. The more educational stuff, the better. My father and mother never hesitated to explain to me about news that if I didn't understand something, right? It was really helped me a lot in my life to experience the modern American media back in the 60s and 70s to help me understand what it's about and how I want to be part of that today. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
So, I think I need to ask you about, how do you find out about Hold Card? Do you want to Actors in Wisconsin?
Yes, Actors in Wisconsin. I have gotten, a year ago, I didn't even think about doing on-camera work. And a friend of mine, David Hazno, who works in advertising in Milwaukee, I saw him at a charity golf outing, and he said, you know, you have a presence, you have a certain look about you, you should try some on-camera stuff. So I approached my agent, who I already had for voice work, and I told her, you know, I've been acting since I was 13. What do you think about on-camera stuff? And she goes, well, I'll start putting you in for it. So I've gotten a couple auditions. I got a TV commercial out of it. But I am religious about going on Facebook and going to Actors in Wisconsin and checking out things, because three of the four on-camera jobs I've had in the last 5 months all came from Actors in Wisconsin. That's how I got in touch with Darby. That's how I got in touch with Bob Love. That's how I got in touch with Story First Media in Madison. That was a safety video for them. So, you know, there are opportunities out there. And, you know, if you want to be an actor in Wisconsin or a voice actor, to go out and beat the bushes. People aren't going to run to your door and knock on your door and hand you jobs. But you can go out and find them. There are opportunities. There's community theater to hone your acting skills. There are improv groups. There are tons of acting opportunities on Facebook, on Actors in Wisconsin, on that group page. So, yeah, that's how I found out about it. And it was, you know, I feel so lucky to have been chosen for it. And Darby said he went through a lot of auditions, and he chose the people he thought were going to deliver. And when we got in the room together, man, there was some talented people. And there were some people that had a lot more on-camera credits than I did and had been at it a lot longer. But it was just a great group to work with.
Oh, you definitely have a presence. I mean, I have to tell you, you and I discussed during that day an idea that we bandied about. I don't want to go into a lot of detail on it now. The more
right.
I think about that idea, the more I think it's going to happen, and the more I know I want you to be the part of it, as we discussed.
Oh,
because
I'd love to do that.
I mean, it's going to be a lot of fun. And you bring so much. I mean, the idea, if we can talk about low-budget film for a bit, right? I mean, if you don't have
right.
money, you have to a lot of money, you have to figure out what other things you can do to bring value to production. And your ability to do voiceover work is huge. You know, it's really interesting to be able to use that for different ideas within transmedia, to get people interested, to have fun, because people believe, in my opinion, if people think that a production is going to be fun, that they'd be more wanting the chance to be part of it, either by watching it or becoming a fan of it, by maybe buying that T-shirt, buying that bumper sticker, doing what it takes. And I think that you bring that to any production that you're in, sir.
Well, thank you. It's, you know, I appreciate that. And it's something that, you know, when I started doing voice acting, some people said, well, what do you mean voice acting? I said, well, you ever watch a TV commercial? Yeah. But those people are on camera. Well, not always, because a lot of times they'll show, you know, the German luxury car going down the twisty Alpine road, and there's a you know, a low-key voice over there talking about, you know, fine German engineering. And so there's a voice actor there. There's so much stuff out there for voice acting now. Any on-hold messaging, the movie trailers, you know, in a world where, you know, that
yeah.
whole deal. Any of the promotion, you know, branding for radio stations. You've got any, you know, most radio commercials are like that. But there's animation. And like you said, the kind of democratization of the media where people have access to creating their own content. via YouTube and other formats of that nature. There's so many people, you can do it. I mean, there are independent video game creators in the state of Wisconsin, and that's I just finished two demos, one for characters for animation and one for video games, and as soon as I get those, I'll pop those up on my page. And that's where my next assault is going to be, on getting more representation from other agents, and also then trying to contact the independent video game makers in the state of Wisconsin and seeing if I can get some video game work.
Right. I mean, that too is huge. I mean, the amount, it really, God, how can I say this? I'll be blunt. I get another pet peeve. I have a couple of them, and don't get me going about roofers, because I'll be in the phone all day.
Okay.
Another pet peeve is all the people I know who thinks I can only make it big if I go to L.A. So, of course, they script this gay, they get a couple of $1,000 in the bank, they go out to L.A., and they realize really, really quickly that any particular day, there'll be a line of people outside a room waiting to audition for some film student's project, right? That doesn't pay them a penny, has no chance of hell of going anywhere, but they are so desperate for the work, that's what they do. And always off that bus, there'll be someone younger than they are, prettier than they are, will do anything, and I mean anything, for the opportunity to be in that film student's small short film. Yet in Wisconsin, you demonstrate yourself, sir, with all the great things you do and willing to work hard and look around for opportunity. There's tons of opportunities in the state.
For sure. And the move to L.A., from everything I've heard and read, you know, you're going to go out there and there's, you know, going to be, like you said, 2,000, 4,000 other people that just got off the bus with the same hopes and dreams, and the competition is crazy. I would suggest anybody that wants to be a voice actor, or even anybody that wants to be an actor, go to D. Bradley Baker's website, iwanttobeavoiceactor.com. And he talks about, you know, before you make that jump where you're going to go to L.A., you may want to think about a couple things. One, you have to make sure you have more arrows in your quiver. You have to make sure that you have a range of talent. Two, you have to build up your armor. You have to make sure that, okay, I put myself out there. I've gone out and done improv, or I've done some singing live, or I've done community theater. I've done on-camera work. You've got to show some credits, because if you get out there and you have no representation, you're going to be, you know, in a huge pond of fish, that all people in the same boat. If you want representation, it's easier in a smaller market like Milwaukee or Madison or Green Bay to be able to show enough work that you can then get representation, which should bring you more work, and then build up that resume, so that by the time you make that jump, if you want to go to LA, or now I would suggest, if it were me, if I were 22 and graduating from theater school, I may not go to LA. I might go to Atlanta, because Atlanta is turning into a real hotbed of film production. I get several national casting notices, and it seems like half of the notices are from Atlanta now.
Yes.
For extras, or they're working for day players or walk-on roles. And I'm not talking about little pictures. I'm talking about Clint Eastwood's new movie, or I'm talking about the Avengers Infinity War. I'm talking about big-budget, big-time Hollywood pictures, but they're doing a lot of filming in Atlanta. And I overheard you and Darby talking about, you know, Film Wisconsin. It's sad that we don't see the amount of Hollywood production of major motion pictures here in Wisconsin that we did once upon a time in the late 80s and through the 90s. And if we could do anything to turn that around, to bring more production here, that would be great. But, yeah, I mean, our proximity to Chicago suggests that if you're an actor and you want to get a look, Steve, who played Kenny, he had been an extra on one episode of Shameless he talked about. One of the other guys in the room, I think it was Paul Peterson, who played Mike, I think he said he was an extra on The Dark Knight. And so there are opportunities. Unfortunately for me, my summer is off from teaching, and most of the production shut down over the summer. And I'm just starting to see the notices now once school starts. So it's not good for me. But there are other people that are out there that if you want, you know, to get a start, what's it like to be on a film set? What's it like to be on a set of a TV series? You know, there are day player and extra opportunities in Chicago for sure.
Yes. And I'm thinking, as we go forward with ideas, I suspect what I'm going to be doing in order, which we'll talk about further off air, you and I, to get something going, is do something low, when I say low-ball production value, I don't mean shitty shit. I mean, this not a lot of money into it, to help not only get the ball rolling with our idea, but also at the same time would give somebody the opportunity to do something for a day, to say, this is, I like acting, I don't like acting. Hey, I want to be a PA, or I don't want to be a PA. Hey, it's fun to work behind the camera, or I really, really hate this idea, right? Because we don't
right.
have that. And it'd be nice to do. And as it comes for incentives, between old Governor Doyle and what happened with after the first group running from Wisconsin were replaced by others, the pooch was fucked in major, major ways. And I do not think we'll see film incentives back in the state for that reason. It's unfortunate, but it's a simple fact. It doesn't mean that a community cannot be formed to sit there and to create something where the buying power would be such we could go to Menards and say, we belong to this group, whatever you call it, what you will, right? And because
right.
we have this card and we belong to this group, you get a discount. Would that discount be the same thing as incentives? No. Would it help small productions happen? Yes.
Yes, for sure.
But
yeah, I was thinking when I was driving home on Saturday, I was thinking that kind of the same thing, that there should be a unified database of people that want to work in TV and film in Wisconsin. And so that you can, you know, mix and match. So you don't have to just put up a blind Facebook notice. I mean, Darby put up the Facebook notice, and I can't believe how fortunate we were. I was lucky to be part of it, but the people were really, really good. And
yeah,
a lot of talented individuals on both sides of the camera. And if we could create some kind of database like that where people could access them, because I know next time I talk to Bob Love, if he's talking about possibly doing a feature film, and, you know, I would definitely give the thumbs up to anybody that was in our cast on Saturday. And the same thing with Darby. If Darby needs somebody with a particular look, there's some people that I worked with in Bob's film that I would say, yeah, this kid's really good. Or, hey, this guy brings this to the table. Or this young lady is fantastic at doing this. So, you know, the more connections you make, and I'm the kind of guy, I mean, the roles that I get are going to be pretty specific. I have found in my on-camera stuff, I either play a crime boss or I play a tradesman, a construction worker or electrical lineman,
okay.
things of that nature. That's what I've gotten so far. But if somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm looking for some, you know, a 25-year-old guy. You know, I know two guys that I worked with in Madison that I would definitely, you know, give the thumbs up to. So, you know, if we had some kind of common resource like that, where filmmakers or actors could go to and put it up there. I mean, I know there are several casting agents and agencies in Milwaukee, and you know, but that's a little different. They're having the decision makers come to them and ask for specific types. It would be nice if the people of Wisconsin could be our own decision makers for our own projects and be able to get things rolling. Because like I said, the democratization of the media means that it's possible. You know, if you had told me 5 years ago I was going to be in a short film that might have a chance, TV series, I would have told you you're crazy. But I think it's realistic. It's you know, got great potential. And what we did on Saturday, I'm so proud of. And you know, you and Sean and Darby and everybody that was part of it, it was a great experience. And I think when people get a chance to watch it, they're going to see, hey, this is, you know, it's not a high budget production, but high budget doesn't necessarily mean high quality. So, you know,
right.
you could make a quality production without a great budget.
This is true. And to my wish, and I think we've achieved it, is that at the end of the day, somebody watches the production that we did, and it cost them a couple bucks to do it, they'll sit there and say, I didn't waste $2 and half an hour of my time watching this. I enjoyed it. I want to see what else these people do. And that way, when
right.
we do something else, we have that base. We have people saying, God, I really like this show. I know I'm going to like this one. I think that's
yeah,
important
definitely.
Because a guy knows the number of times I've been to a movie theater and went halfway through the film, I wish I had a handgun so I could end it all. Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said, just because it's coming out of Hollywood or just because it's a multi-million dollar production doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be compelling entertainment.
No, no, sometimes far from it. That's it. I mean, we get told because it's out of Hollywood has to be compelling entertainment. I mean, it's crazy how things change. And this is something I'll just put out in the universe. It's been my experience, and perhaps I've been wrong as things change, that any time that a group, as you suggest, gets started to do something like your database, that as soon as it's started, you'll get 100 people show up and sit there and say, you can't do this because you're not the right person. And we faced that with Film Wisconsin with the initial people or involved that I was part of, right? All the people said that we couldn't because. I mean, I was told I cannot be listed in the guide that was produced because I did mostly TV and it was geared for mostly people in film. It's like, what the fuck is that about? But that was then, this is now. And the person that told it to me should not have been empowered to say that. But we sometimes take what we're given and don't fight back. And that's my bad.
Yeah, it's a tough thing. And everyone has their own vision of what it should be like. Once you create something, excuse me, everyone has their own vision. Well, this should be more like this or this should be more like that. And it's the more people that become involved, the more it kind of gets away from what maybe the person created its original vision was. I just have to get two things in here before we get too far here, Wayne. One, if I didn't have the support of my wife to go out and do crazy stuff like this, my wife actually was at a charity golf outing on Saturday. I missed it this year because I was in the film. But if I didn't have the support from her, I mean, she always says, yeah, go do this. I think you could do this or, you know, go give it a shot. So she has been fully supportive. My wife and my kids have been supportive of my, you know, attempts to become a voice actor, my attempts at acting. And so that's part one. The other shout out I want to give is to Darby, if Darby listens to this, because I was the one on the set that was, you know, berating The Godfather 3. So I haven't found it yet, but when I find The Godfather 3, when I have access to it, I will watch it again, and I will give it another chance. I don't know that it's going to change my opinion, but I love 1 and 2 so much that it probably was hard for 3 to live up to.
Well, I too have a debt of gratitude to everyone in the set in front of and behind the camera. I want to give a special shout-out to Darby, who did a lot in the last few weeks of making this happen. I think it's absolutely incredibly cool that he did as much as he did. A shout out to the PAs, especially the two young ladies who also not only did work as a PA but also acted at the same time. It was absolutely wonderful to behold. Absolutely. We had a lot of really cool people on set that day. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, and
no doubt.
And you kind of knew. I knew right off the bat. I got out of my truck and I was carrying something, and Sean and Josh were unloading the van, and I said, "Do you need some help?" And they're like, "Yeah." And everybody was pitching in and helping to load up and to bring his stuff back downstairs at the end of the day. And you know, on a lower budget opportunity like this, that's what you need. Everybody needs to work together. You can't let it all rest on one person's shoulders. You talked about your experience of trying to do everything. If you wear too many hats, you know, they fall in front of your face and you can't see where you're going. So I thought you guys had everything delineated really well. And I thought, you know, I knew it was going to be good when I walked in, and Sean and Josh were rigging the lighting. So they, that they created out of stuff that they had gotten from the hardware store, and the lighting was fantastic. And the room, you have to give a shout out to the people at the Algoma Club, because that room was absolutely awesome. The look and feel of the room and the bar, to be able to be in there and film there, that is huge production value there.
I think that it was an incredible production. I think it all came together for different reasons. I know should our situation take place, that I know the Algoma Club will be used again because it's such a perfect location for so many stuff. And that's part of the beauty of Wisconsin is we have all kinds of secret locations that nobody seems to know a lot about. But
yeah, for sure. And, you know, once you start thinking about a project and you think about scouting locations, I think there are a lot of them out there that you can get at a reasonable price and that you could set up and you could shoot and make something that's very entertaining.
Yes, I think you're absolutely correct. And Again, I want to thank you so much for being part, not only part of the production, but coming on this show today and talking about your background and all kinds of other interesting stuff that made this show fly by so fast.
Well, is our hour's almost done right now, isn't it? It is. It's, you know,
yeah,
I,
about
I,
5 minutes.
I,
yeah.
I'm going to be talking for an hour. What am I going to? But no, it's
these shows always
great.
Do. And the thing is that usually I have crime people on, right? Usually authors, writers, people like that. Criminals even, right?
Right.
I've been blessed. And it's nice to have people because, and everybody loves, I've yet to have a person on the show that did not like a mob movie or mob films. And I think it's nice to show them what effort it goes into making a production because it's not as simple as walking into a room and automatically turning into the tomb, to the Godfather, right? It's a lot of
right.
work behind it. And I think that once people know about it and they become appreciative of it, they understand it more. And one thing I'll say about the true crime family that I know of is they always like to know more about what it takes to make something worthwhile being part of. And again, I want to thank you
yeah.
so much for being part of last Saturday and, again, for being on this show. It really, really means a lot to me, sir.
Not a problem, Wayne. Any time, you know, I can do anything to help you or help this project, I will. I would just ask that if people get a chance, if you need a voice actor, you need an on-camera actor, go to Facebook. It's Steve Schleicher. The last name is S-C-H-L-E-I-C-H-E-R. Voice Actor is my Facebook page for my business. Contact me through there or Steve Schleicher Voice, all one word, at charter.net. Shoot me an email. I'd be happy to sit down and talk to you about whatever project you have for me.
Wait a second. I got to correct you. You don't have a web page?
I'm working on that. Your startup costs for a small business are kind of expensive. I'm just, when I get my check from my last video that I did, I'm actually going on Friday to talk to a friend of mine who was in the movie with Bob Love. His name is Jeff Funk, and he's a tech guy, and he owns a pub in Fitchburg. And we're going to go talk and knock back some beers, and we're going to discuss getting a web page, a dedicated web page for me.
You can do a web page yourself on WordPress and have it up and running in probably 2 hours for the cost of hosting on GoDaddy for less than probably $200, probably way less than that. But I digress. And you should also be on LinkedIn, sir. You should be on LinkedIn. Don't tell me
yeah,
you're on
LinkedIn.
I'll cry.
I have a LinkedIn profile, but it reflects more of my teaching and coaching than it does my acting.
Well, then I look forward to having that changed.
Yeah, I will update it.
Please do, because I'd like to be connected with you on LinkedIn. You will not be surprised. You'll be surprised how quickly LinkedIn pays for itself with the connections that you make,
awesome.
Sir.
Thank
Excellent. You, sir, for being again part of the show, letting me berate you in good nature. Please take that in the good nature spirit that it was offered in, and you're right about Godfather 3. Trust me when I say that. I wanted to shoot myself and shoot everybody in it.
So you're on my side.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm everywhere on your side.
Like I said, I'm going to try to give it another chance, but I don't know that my opinion's going to change.
Some things I don't want to give another chance to. That would be one of them, but that's me. All right. my friend, the English lady, says it's time for me to go. But again, sir, I thank you for being part of the show. I wish you the very, very best of luck, and I'll be in contact with you soon.
Thanks for having me on, Wayne.
Thank you, sir. Yep. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
What a great... See, that's why I like this stuff so much. Be it the authors
it's
I've
awesome.
Had on here. I know, the policemen I've had on here. All the people on this show have really racked out. It makes it really nice to do. That's why I like doing podcasting so much, which involves me, as the guy started talking about how democratization of media starts. So you can do a show like this. If I can do a show
yeah.
like this, you can do a show like this.
Right.
Anybody
that's
can.
Awesome.
Anyway, it's wonderful. Anyway, time to go. The old English lady is going to come to my house and beat me up or make me hire roofers. One or two, probably both. Talk to you all later.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Take it easy, Wayne. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.